This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Padres putting up big numbers yesterday to close out the Giants series. Now they get set to host the Cardinals. Welcome in to Gwen and Chris, everybody. 4:01 is the time. Crisello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. out at Petco Park. We're going to do a little Chris versus the fans here to start the 4 o'clock hour. Also, at some point in this half hour, we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to tomorrow's Padres-Cardinals game. First 40,000 fans in attendance will receive a City Connect poncho presented by us. Darn right. It's coming right out of our salary, Scrabe.
Well, at least they're beautiful then.
The City Connect poncho presented by 97.3 The Fan. For more information, visit Padres.com/giveaways. Or stay tuned to the program. You could win a pair of tickets to the game tomorrow night right here. Right now, you can find yourself on your way to Las Vegas, and it's a new month, so we have new prizes to give away.
That's right.
It's on two pages, so I'm going back and forth
to the long one, Chris.
You're going to get qualified for a chance to win the grand prize. Two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Two tickets to Cool and the Gang. I like Cool and the Gang.
Cool. You do.
And the Gang.
Okay.
They're back by popular demand after multiple sold-out shows. The legendary funk group, that's funk, F-U-N-K.
Thank you.
Cool and the Gang returns to the stage at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. The residency through 2024. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. The Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino features newly designed premier rooms, part of their $70 million room renovations, home of legendary Vegas fun. In addition to that, you are actually going to win straight up a pair of tickets to see Eric Clapton at Pechanga Arena, otherwise known as the Sports Arena, right down here.
Okay.
That's coming up on October the 8th. Tickets will go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. on AXS.com, AXS.com. That is Eric Clapton, pair of tickets. You know they call Eric Clapton, don't you, Scrape?
The clapper?
Slow hand.
Slow? I thought that, oh.
Didn't know that was his nickname, huh?
I don't think that's good for a musician, right?
Slow hand? That means he plays a nice, smooth guitar. Oh,
right.
Slow hand.
I called him the clapper.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't appreciate that.
I didn't know.
Eric Clapton's a legendary musical performer.
Can I ask something without it being
maybe
weird?
A little bit before your time.
Okay. Is he the guy who had the kid fall out the window?
Don't recall hearing that story.
Tears in Heaven?
Tears in Heaven? That is his song.
Oh, okay. So it was his son.
Really?
You didn't know this?
I did not.
Tears in Heaven, I believe, is about his son who passed away.
Maybe we should make sure of this.
Yes.
Do you think, in case, I mean,
I do,
not that
I do.
You're always
no,
the bearer of bad
I am.
Misinformation, but I'd hate for you to be on this one.
Yes, me too.
It is written about the death of his 4-year-old son. That's
all
right.
All right, good. I wouldn't go there unless I was pretty
yes,
sure.
You were right. I did not know that.
But once you hear the song, it's a great song, and then you find the meaning behind the song, and you're like in tears.
Pretty emotional. Pretty emotional.
Yeah.
All right, Eric Clapton, either way, tickets, let's play.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, you have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win if you're a first-time player. Let us know before the first question and you will move on to question number two for today. And a reminder, Good Guys 23rd, McGuire's Del Mar Nationals, April 5th through the 7th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. To register your vehicle or purchase tickets, visit www.good-guys.com/DMN for Del Mar Nationals.
Couple of baseball notes before we get to it. Our old friend Denelson Lamet has been activated by the Dodgers.
Oh.
But he takes the place of another old friend, Nabil Chrismat, released by the Dodgers.
I don't like that.
I know. I'm saddened by
that. Nabil was great.
Saddened by that news.
I feel like Nabil kind of just disappeared. He was so good there for a while, and then all of a sudden...
The changeup was working, and then just... They figured it out.
I guess so.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to our first contestant before I start crying about the departure of Nabil. Let's see. Not Eric. He wasn't the first to call. Oh, these times are all the same. Well, Matt in Lakeside. Matt, how are you doing today?
What's going on, guys?
Hi, Matt.
Are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Question number one. What state did Caitlin Clark grow up in?
Clark. Iowa.
Iowa.
She's an Iowa girl.
She is. Des Moines.
Through and through.
Des Moines.
Through and through.
I'm going to be going to Iowa here in August. It's going to be great, Chris.
I'll let Caitlin know you're on your
way.
Well,
I will go say hi to Caitlin if she wants to, you know, get coffee or something.
Sure. Imagine anything she'd rather do.
Yeah, she doesn't have like $5 million on the table for with the big three or
she
anything.
She should be able to pay for your coffee.
Yeah, I hope
nothing
so.
Else.
All right, Matt. Here is question number two. What player has hit the most home runs in baseball so far this season?
Ooh, I just saw that. Shoot. I'm just gonna say Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts is correct. Some of these stats are a little bit deceiving because the Padres and Dodgers have played two extra games.
So what?
He still leads.
Still leads.
All right. Here we go, Matt. You get this one right or Chris gets it wrong. And all
he was
of
not
those
named the player of the week, though, Mookie Betts.
Who was?
Believe it or not.
Who was?
The Rockies turned Lourdes Gurriel Jr. into the player of the week.
Well, I mean, one 14-run inning or whatever it was.
The guy had three home runs and 10 RBIs.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Pretty good. You know who the American League player of the week was? Take a wild guess.
Juan Soto?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They have to. It's marketing purposes.
Okay.
All right, here we go, Matt. Question number
three. And the fact that he didn't get out once the whole week.
I mean, where was this? All right, Matt. There are only two players in Major League history to go 300 homers, 300 steals, and 3,000 hits. Name both of them.
Oh boy.
Willie Mays?
Okay.
Willie Mays.
One, I need another.
I thought you said two. Barry Bonds?
Barry Bonds. Stay
Barry
there.
Barry quite made did Barry make 3,000 hits? I don't think
I'm not
did.
Sure. I can't tell you anything.
I know. Who Willie Mays got? Sounds right.
Okay.
A-Rod.
Dang.
A-Rod.
I'm sorry, man.
300.
Good playing. Yeah, 300,
3,000. A-Rod.
Wow.
Still not in the Hall of Fame. Never will fame.
Yes, he will.
If you look at his statistics.
They're incredible.
They are unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's his just ever-dying desire for you to appreciate him that drives me nuts about him.
Well, because no one wants to appreciate him.
If he just would let it all stand up and then, you know, he got caught at the end.
Yeah.
But he put up some amazing numbers before all that stuff happened.
Yeah, he's one of two to go 300, 3,000, which is pretty incredible.
Gold glove everywhere, shortstop, third, anyway.
Yeah, all right.
Too bad.
But the biggest loss of his life was J-Lo, Chris.
Sorry about that, A-Rod.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Archie and RB, you are up. How are you doing, Archie?
Doing well. Loving your show.
Thank you. Hi, very Archie. Much, Archie. Are you ready to go?
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
All right. Name the only Padre player to have hit a triple this season.
Triple.
That would be Jake Cronenworth, I think.
Jake. The snake. Jake's got a five-game hit streak right now.
He has a knack for hitting triples.
He does.
He's been leading
baseball.
Even
last year he had a lot of triples.
He did. It's crazy.
On a year where he didn't have a lot of everything else.
That's very true. All right, here we go. Archie, question number two. Who was the last Who was the last Aztec basketball player to be drafted in the NBA draft?
Hello? Can you repeat that? You were broken. I'm sorry.
I was broken. Well, I am broken, but... Who was the last Aztec basketball player to be drafted in the NBA draft?
Ooh. Is that Kawhi?
Goes back to Kawhi.
Unfortunately not, Archie. Chris probably knows this.
He doesn't.
Oh, you don't?
Well, I have some guesses, but
okay.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know if Mensah was drafted last year. I'm going to go with Malachi Flynn. I got lucky.
Sorry, Archie.
Sure.
Yeah, Malachi
wasn't
Flynn.
Sure.
2020, he was the last one drafted. The previous one was, what was his name? Jalen Daniels?
McDaniels, yeah. Jalen McDaniels.
Yes. Jalen
and his brother Jaden has turned into a really good NBA player.
There's also an LSU quarterback that I'm getting confused with right now. So
yes.
The Heisman Trophy Daniels, winner. There we go. All right. Here we go to our next contestant. Let's go to, Chris's favorite, Mike in Escondido.
He is my favorite.
Hello, Mike.
You said that like he's not my favorite.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not too much.
He'd be more my favorite if he'd bring me some Mike's Escondido ribs.
Okay, every single time. Every single time. I'm sorry, Mike. I'm sorry. Here we go. Question number one. What is... I'm trying so hard to pronounce the last name, I didn't even pronounce the first name. What is Giannis Antetokounmpo's nickname?
Don't know.
Uh-oh. Sorry, Mike. Chris knows.
Greek freak.
I wonder if he likes that nickname. Thanks, Mike. Try again.
I bet you Mike's heard that and he just kind of let it escape him. That happens sometimes.
It does. It does. All right.
Yeah, I think that's a good nickname, don't you? Or do you think he takes exception to the freak?
Oh, I don't mind it. I mean, but everybody's offended by everything nowadays, so he might be offended because I'm actually not a freak.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
Freaks everywhere upset about it.
Let's go to freaks. So all the circus people are upset about it.
That's right.
All right, Edward, you're up. How are you? Okay, Edward.
Don't listen to your... Turn him down. Edward, you got to get your radio off. We'll get back to you.
Eric, you're up.
Oldest rule in sports talk radio. Turn your radio down.
I guess I don't say it, so. All right, Eric, what's going on?
Hey, how are we doing? A little nervous because Chris is back on his game.
He is back on his game. But
let's go, Eric.
You're a good player, Eric, so I think you got what it takes. Here we go. The Dodgers are first in baseball and home runs so far this season. What team is number two?
I'm going to go with the Diamondbacks because that's huge. I think they've done that. I think I'm going to go with Diamondbacks.
Diamondbacks.
This is a number one?
This is a number one.
Then I'll say the Padres.
Oh, you played the game. I'm sorry, Eric.
They played more games. That was one of the reasons why. But
yeah.
The fact that you made it a question number one, that's why I guessed that.
You played the game.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Eric.
All right, let's go to our next longest holding. I think, James, is that you?
Howdy-do.
Howdy-do, James. Here we go. Let's get to question number one. Who started for the Padres on their home opener last week? In their home opener last week.
Pitcher, you mean.
Pitcher, yes, yeah, sorry.
Not the whole lineup.
That was Yu Darvish.
Nice job.
Yu
Darvish. James, question number two. What AL East team currently leads the majors in team ERA?
Oh. I don't know. Let's go with the Baltimore Orioles.
The Orioles.
Orioles.
Stay there.
I'm going to say a surprise. I saw some of the highlights of the weekend. Gosh. There were low-scoring games. I'm going to say Red Sox.
Oh, gosh. Sorry about that, James.
I played a couple of 1-0 games against the Mariners.
All right. Let's go tiebreaker. I'm so, defeated. I'm so defeated. You know who we're going to choose today?
As your tiebreaker?
Caitlin Clark! Yes. I need to find her.
Got to get some statistics on her.
Career stats. Here we go. Just found it. All right. I got perfect. All right. Here we go. I'm talking to myself, Chris. Let's go to...
And I'm letting you, by
I know
the way.
You are. Let's go to David. David, you're up for the tiebreaker. Do you know how it works?
Yes, I do.
All right. Here we go, Chris. Caitlin Clark has hit how many threes in her college career?
Oh, boy.
It's a lot of threes.
Yeah.
400 threes. David, is the actual answer higher or lower?
I'm going to go lower.
You're going to go lower. Sorry, David. She hit way more threes than 400. She hit 531.
Okay.
That's incredible.
Yeah, she's amazing.
All right, let's go back, or let's go to Brandon in La Mesa. Brandon, how are you?
Doing good, thank you.
All right, you know how to play this. Chris, how many steals has
steals?
She accumulated in her career?
She gets a lot of them. 231.
231.
That's right.
Brandon, is the actual answer higher or lower?
I go lower.
Nice job, Brandon. You stay right there. I'm trying to find the applause button. There it is.
How many she have?
You were really close. That's why I laughed. 206.
206.
Yeah, 206. So, how many points, Brandon, would you say she scored in her entire? Oh, well, we just did the.
Well,
whole
she's
point
the
thing.
All-time record holder. So, but I don't remember how many it was.
Well, now
honestly.
She has 3,859 points.
So. She's good. I'll tell you one thing. Her passing game is
it's really good.
Really, really impressive.
It is.
I mean, the fact that she can shoot from 40 feet is pretty good, too.
That too.
But her ability to find open players and put the ball right on the money, she's a really good passer.
Well, when everyone covers you, you have to find out how to pass.
Yes, you do. And she can do it. All right. The final four is set on the men's side. Should Zach Edey and the Purdue Boilermakers truly be there? We'll discuss after traffic when Gwen and Chris returns.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Clark rising to the occasion. First possession of the game for Iowa. She just stepped back, drained a three. Just drained another one. The second one was, say, 30 foot.
I think it was possibly an NBA three.
It was way out there. Iowa leads LSU in the early going of this much-anticipated Elite Eight game. Iowa 15, LSU 6. Good start for Iowa. Keep you up to date. 4:24 is the time. Men's Elite Eight yesterday. Purdue beat Tennessee 72-66. Zach Edey, 40 points, 16 rebounds. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Dominant. Did everything you could possibly do.
Well, he blocked one shot. You'd think it's 7-4. He might be able to get two. But that's okay.
You're willing to look past that.
You're going
to
look past that when a guy goes 40 and 16.
Yeah.
He also played 39 and a half minutes. I mean, he doesn't even sub out.
That's pretty good.
So give him credit. But also, the officiating in that game was terrible. Zach Edey shot 22 free throws. That means he drew at least 11 fouls.
Okay.
Because he went to the line that many times. In the meantime, he himself was called for only one. And in a physical game where people are leaning on you and beating on you and pushing and shoving, it's hard for me to believe that Edey played a perfectly clean game without fouling. The only foul he was called for was an obvious shove in the back as the ball was going out of bounds right in front of the official. They had to call it. If I was Tennessee, I would have felt some type of way, is what I'm saying after this game.
Really?
Tennessee was charged with 25 fouls in the game, Purdue 12. That's too big of a disparity for an Elite Eight game. It just is.
But what if Purdue didn't foul?
Yeah, you're right, but they did. It was a closely contested game. I mean, it was back and forth, nip and tuck the entire way. The only difference in the game was every time the whistle blew, the foul was on Tennessee. And so that frustrated me a little bit. But I will say this. If Zach Edey gets put on the free throw line every time he touches the ball in the NCAA final, if they make it against Connecticut, they can beat him.
Yeah.
Because the way he was being officiated last night was you touch him, he goes to the line. Well, you have to touch him. He's 7-4. Otherwise, he's going to just walk in and dunk the ball.
He does.
So it's interesting how much officiating can have an effect is all I'm saying.
It's just hard
really
for
officials, Tennessee
right?
got hosed. It is.
Because he's so tall and everybody else is not as tall as him.
But he can fight through some contact, and they didn't make him fight through any. Because if he was touched, it was a foul. Tennessee.
What's the definition of a foul?
It's hard. I can't say it. I don't know how to describe
because,
it. But to me, it's something that at least has an impact and keeps Zach Edey from doing or going where he wants to go. And I didn't feel like that was the case. I thought a lot of them were just touch fouls. He would turn around. He would shoot. They'd lean on him a little bit. Foul, he'd get two free throws. And that just made it impossible for Tennessee. I just thought they really got hosed in that game. So we'll see. Purdue's, look, I think Zach Edey's better than I thought he was when the tournament
too.
Started.
That's what I just want
He's
to
got
say.
Some good moves. He's got a great drop step. He can shoot right over the left shoulder.
He's got
the left.
Some meat on him.
You know, he does dominate the rebound. He goes up, he grabs it, he keeps the ball up high.
Puts it right back in when he needs to.
But I just thought, you know, Tennessee was almost an impossible. I mean, their whole team fouled out. And, you know, just every time they got near him, the whistle blew. Meanwhile, Tennessee, nothing. I mean, Purdue could do no wrong.
Tennessee was leading there early.
Tennessee was leading late. I just thought they got hosed a little bit in that game. NC State's amazing. They go to the Final Four for the first time since the great Jim Valvano team of 1983. They're an 11 seed. They finished 10th in their own conference. 10th!
Yeah.
And now they've won 9 games in a row, 5 of them in 5 days in the ACC tournament. And they polished off Duke yesterday. Duke was a little lucky to get there because of the injury to Jamal Shedd on Friday night. Houston's star player went down, and that took out any. Shedd is not only Houston's leading scorer, but he is the point man of their great defense. They had like 8 turnovers in the first 3 minutes of that game because Shedd was running around making stuff happen. When he went out of the game, they no longer forced turnovers. And I thought that was a big key for Duke.
You can always tell how good a guy is by what your team does when you're not playing.
It was pretty big. It was pretty noticeable. It really was noticeable. So NC State will play Purdue. Obviously, Purdue's a big favorite. On the other side, good luck to Alabama. I will say this, though. Alabama can score. They can score. They score 80, 90 points a game. I don't know if they can get that many against UConn.
I don't know either. That's a lot of points against UConn. No one scores that many
Connecticut
points.
That Connecticut team is ridiculous. A 30 to zero run.
It just makes you feel so much better.
Yeah, it wasn't against a lousy team. It was against Illinois,
yeah,
who people thought was maybe the second or third team in the whole tournament.
Yep.
So that's your Final Four. Iowa 20, LSU 17. So LSU comes right back into the game. They're in the first quarter. They're only midway through the first quarter.
Well, they just keep shooting and making threes, both teams.
My goodness.
Both teams.
Well, that, you know, when you have a great game and a lot of hype, you want it to be a great game. And so far, those kids are delivering out there. We'll come back with more Gwynn and Chris, the Big Five. Did Clark just hit another three?
No, it was her teammate, but there was another three made. This is pretty incredible. They're 5 for 7 and 3 for 6.
They're hitting everything out there.
Yeah.
I wonder if the three-point line is the right distance behind the
I think so.
Arc.
Someone should check.
They better check. All right. What is
We're
going to
talk
five?
About that next.
In the Big Five.
Yeah.
Okay, come back. Really good news to kick off this segment. Right now, a chance for you to win 2 tickets to tomorrow night's Padre-Cardinal game. First 40,000 fans will get a City Connect poncho presented by us, 97.3 The Fan. Or you can win 2 tickets right now. Got to answer this question. 833-288-0973. Who is the only team that's ever beat UConn in a Final Four game? Who is the only team who's ever beat UConn in a Final Four game? UConn's been to 6 Final Fours. They've won 5 times. Only one team has ever beat them at the Final Four. Name that team, and you'll go to the Padre-Cardinal game tomorrow night. Dial in 833-288-0973. Traffic, and then today's Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, before we get into the action, this hour is brought to you by Prize Picks. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. Cash in on basketball's big moments with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Use code KWFN for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. As I told Chris last week, I got very excited with the FanDuel fantasy for baseball on opening night, and I lost. So that was great.
That's a good thing. You didn't have to be present to win because
was not present.
You did
I
not
went
win.
Very, very Padres heavy, which helped and hurt at the same time. Anyway, here we go.
Number 5.
And a place that you never want to be on the internet is in the middle of a brawl at a baseball game. Over the weekend at Petco Park, there were sights and sounds of many fights, and one of them even made TMZ Sports.
Sights and sounds.
Yes, have you seen these videos?
I haven't.
This is embarrassing because it's occurring at a much faster rate at Petco Park. Some fans tweeted me saying they don't like to go to games because of fighting and drunk people. And I'm not saying this is a Petco thing. This is an all-sports watching thing, but we're focusing on baseball in San Diego. How can Major League Baseball make things safer, Chris, for fans going to games?
Well, first thing I did cross my mind when you said this is happening at Petco Park. And it happened over the weekend. The first thing that crossed my mind is that the Giants were in town. And we already know, based on somebody on this program's behavior, that San Francisco fans can be very difficult to deal with.
Goodness.
So I think one of the reasons that you get a little more of this when the Giants are here, certainly when the Dodgers are here, is because there's so many fans of the other team. And I'm sure this happens around baseball. Philadelphia and the Mets are very close. Anyway, geographically close, so I'm sure a lot of fans travel. But I think that's the beginning of it. I think you have a lot of Giant fans at Petco Park over the weekend. As far as how Major League Baseball can better police this, I mean, other than not just kicking people out of the game that engage, but having the ability to keep them from coming for a while afterwards. And I don't know whether we're quite to that yet,
where somebody can kick Matt Scraby out of the stadium and then keep him from coming back into the stadium the next night.
Well, I find a way.
I know that with you, they would find a way. But I don't know what else you can do. I mean, the behavior is awful. And, you know, I understand why a lot of people don't want to go to games. And I think it's a problem that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah, TMZ Sports had the one on Friday night, I think it was. And it was bad enough to make the front page of TMZ Sports. So, Tony, how can Major League Baseball make things safer for fans going to games?
I don't know that Major League Baseball can. Because it's not, as you said, this isn't just a Major League Baseball thing. This is really all sports everywhere. The folks in the stands are a little bit out of control at times. I mean, maybe close down alcohol sales earlier. I don't know. Although we know that they're already trying to expand that based on the game being too quick. I mean, that's probably one way you can do it. Because at the really crux of all of these situations, there's a little bit of that adult beverage that's mixed in with the hostilities that already exist between the sides that are typically at the center of these things. So,
can we just ban alcohol sales entirely at ball games? Would any team...
The teams wouldn't survive.
What do you mean they wouldn't survive? They have so much money right now.
They would definitely survive. The fans wouldn't survive, maybe.
I think the fans wouldn't survive. Yeah.
But yeah, man, I don't know that this is a Major League Baseball can do. I think the moment you start having the police, how people act, that was what has made sports, live sports, so attractive. Is for the most part, people had been able to conduct themselves in a way that everybody can enjoy themselves. We're moving into a time where people are forgetting how to conduct themselves, and it's messing it up for other people who are trying to enjoy the game.
I think you brought up something about a month ago, Scraby, that you asked if I personally would welcome an alcohol-free section or two at the ballpark, and I said yes. Maybe you have to just put all the alcohol people in one section of the ballpark and put everybody else somewhere else.
I mean, that's where all the fights are going to break out.
I know, but at least, you know what I mean? I mean, this would at least make some of the fans feel safer.
The video I saw was of someone on like the concourse in a very crowded area, and he was over 40, I'm just going to say. And it was embarrassing because he got tossed to the ground and he did like the bounce on the ground type of thing. Very embarrassing. And then the other kid, I think he was like in his 20s or something, like fell down and people were trying to break it up. And it's just like, what are we doing? It's Easter Sunday, people.
Yeah. It's not a good look.
I will say this because I know people are thinking, well, Scraber used to drink and go to baseball games. Yes, I did, but I never once got into a fight, and I never once did anything to get kicked out.
Yeah, we also, just remember all the stories you've heard about Scraber. He also seems like he's pretty obnoxious when he was a drunk,
okay.
So.
There was one time, I will say, that I was being obnoxious and I should have been decked, but I wasn't, and I'm thankful for that, and I've never done it since. So,
with that said...
Four.
Just before tip-off between Texas... Why are you staring at me, Chris?
Sorry, I'll look elsewhere.
All right, thank you. Just before tip-off between Texas and North Carolina State in the Women's Elite Eight, the NCAA was made aware that there is a discrepancy between the distances of the three-point lines on each side of the March Madness court in Portland. The news was first relayed on air by ESPN prior to the start of the game, which did go on as scheduled, with head coaches Wes Moore and Vic Schaefer agreeing to play in order not to delay the game, ESPN said. So, yes, the three-pointers... The two lines were different distances, and some of these games were played before it was noticed. Tony, I'm sorry, are all of these games null and void now?
No.
Null and void!
Absolutely not.
One side could have made more threes than the other side.
But do we know? That's the thing, is before we start going down this path, it's easily, you can find that information pretty easy. You can go back, watch the game, see who actually, if how many more threes were made, if any at all. My guess is that there weren't. This
is weird, though, you gotta say.
It definitely is not normal. but not enough to null and void, as you said, the games. And the mere fact that the two head coaches of both teams of the game that it was realized were like, nah, we're going to play anyway. Let you know how little of a deal this is.
It's a big difference.
In terms of the women's game, you don't hear about these things happening in the men's game. So, you know, the people who are in charge need to tighten up, man. Don't have the women out there looking crazy because you can't count the amount of inches out there that needs to be from where it's supposed to be or where the line's supposed to be.
I don't think this is, I haven't heard this to be truth, but I think one side was men's side and one side was women's and they just made a mistake or something. I don't know. Oh, Chris, yeah. What do you think about this?
It wasn't that. It was honestly one of them, the line was just too close to the top of the key.
Right.
And the other one was another foot or two further at the top of the key. And the reason that the coaches agreed to play the game is because they were told it would take well over an hour to fix it. And neither coach wanted to wait over an hour to start the game. I mean, it was an Elite Eight game. Everybody was, you know, revved up and ready to play. So they didn't want to wait an hour. But this is I don't want to say it's a black eye for the sport, because it's not the sport's fault. It's the people in charge of this arena in Portland.
Right.
That you know, honestly, this is an incredible embarrassment. I mean, you know, guys, I ref freshman high school games at, you know, modern day high school. I have never come across a 3-point line that wasn't measured off correctly.
Do you measure before each
game? I don't, but no one's ever pointed any problem out before. I just find it hard to believe that they couldn't get this right. It was, yeah, that's bad.
This is where it's important to remember, right? It would never happen at a high school or building because they don't have to change these floors a billion times.
But
the point is that Chris is making is spot on. Like, the women's game is like ascending at a crazy pace right now. Having a story like this, although it doesn't stop that train that's going, it's certainly not a good look for the game, and it has nothing to do with anything anybody in the game is doing, right? It's some people working at a arena that just made a mistake, ultimately.
Well, Caitlin Clark.
I think they had the guy from the television commercial who spelled out chefs in the end zone.
Yeah, they did. That's exactly
he was did. The guy measuring the 3-point line.
That's pretty funny. Now, but Caitlin Clark, is everything she does forward is an asterisk on her name.
All right.
Number 3.
As usual.
If she would have had a closer 3-point, I'd have hit like 97 threes or something.
Just
97
first
threes,
of all, she
get
did,
that?
First of all, she didn't play in that arena, so second of all, it's silly. Move on.
With the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson super... I know when Chris is serious is when he does look away from me. With the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson super fight happening in July, it does not excite one of the best professional boxers in the world right now. Canelo Alvarez did an interview with TMZ Sports, and he said this.
Really? Not even interested?
No. Nothing.
Do you think it's good for boxing, not good for boxing? No. A lot of people think that Netflix is good for boxing.
I think Netflix is good for boxing, but at that special fight, I think Netflix is doing something wrong there. I think Netflix being involved, yes, is good, but not in that kind of fights. I think it's more show than a fight.
Chris, should Canelo Alvarez embrace this as a way to get eyes on his sport?
I think he should, but I understand why he isn't. He's at the top of the sport, and you know he's the guy with whom most boxers and boxing events are measured by. So I can totally get it. But boxing, I think, needs some attention right now, and if it has to be put together as an entertainment package, I think it's good for the sport. You know, I haven't been interested in too many fights myself in the last decade or so. And, you know, I used to be a pretty good fight fan. I used to watch quite a few, you know, boxing matches. But, you know, the fact that everything's difficult to find, it's all pay-per-view, it always costs me extra. And mostly the fact that I don't know who any of the fighters are keeps me from watching. So, you know, at least this one event is, you know, features some names of people I've heard of. So, yeah, I think he should embrace it, but I understand why he hasn't.
Tony, do you think Canelo Alvarez should embrace this as a way to get eyes on his sport?
I don't know if he should embrace it. And I certainly understand where he comes from, right? I'm sure he's a boxing purist. So, like, the fact that a 50-plus-year-old, almost 60-year-old Mike Tyson is fighting...
A YouTuber? he's a boxer
is,
at this point, I guess.
The thing is, as much as what's his name?
Jake Paul.
As much as he has improved as a boxer, it's hard to take him seriously when he's taking matches like this, right? He's not fighting any boxers, like real boxers. This is actually the first, like, real boxer he's faced. But he's, like I said, he's almost 60. So, like, it's tough for him... For anybody to take him seriously in terms of whether Canelo should, be on board with this in order to promote boxing, I don't know that he should. He's still in the ring, literally. So he probably wants eyes on real boxing matches, and I don't know that this one could be considered that.
Good points, both of you.
Number two.
The MLB uniform drama died down a bit, but it is right back after opening weekend. I don't know if you guys were following this over the weekend, but we saw a ton of sweat, especially from the Yankees. It was just sweating right through their uniform.
Really?
The numbers and the names, they don't look great. I gotta say, the Padres don't look that terrible. They don't really look terrible, I'm saying that. But another aspect...
What?
I don't know what I'm saying. Because as soon as I said it, they're like, he's being a homer because they're the Padres. But I don't actually think... Anyway, it doesn't matter. Some of the uniforms look good. Some of them don't look good. But another aspect is the delivery of the uniforms. The Mariners, who wear their cream-colored uniforms on most Sundays last season, haven't even received them yet. And the St. Louis Cardinals often wear their famous victory blue uniforms for Saturday road games, but they're forced into grays for the first Saturday of the season because they are also still without those uniforms. And they may not be getting those uniforms until June, reports have said. So it would be like the Padres not wearing military Sunday uniforms on home Sundays. Very strange. Tony, can MLB afford to not go back to the originals?
They're not going back to the originals, my understanding. So whether they can afford to or not, that doesn't seem like it's going to matter.
Foot is down.
They have decided to go with these, I guess, more comfortable material.
Breathable?
Breathable. That's what I'm looking at. Breathable material. This is one of the drawbacks. I mean, if you have a it depends on what your body and how long your last name is, depending on how bad the back of your uniform looks. Like, you have a big back, like, let's say, Jorge Soler.
Hmm.
His letters, it looks fine. It's distributed good.
Yeah.
But it's the huge dudes with the small last names. Like, if you got a four-letter last name, it looks really weird. And letters look too small. And so... Yeah, man, it doesn't sound like there's a whole lot that's going to happen. My man, who was it? My man for the Yankees, the lefty, the pitcher for the Giants last year.
Oh, Rodon?
Rodon had like dark gray when he got done pitching in Houston. So I guess this is one of those things players are going to be irritated about. And listen, we may not hear about it, but if it's a problem, there'll still be some things happening back channel to kind of rectify it, I'm pretty sure.
Chris, I guess because they're not going to be moving the jerseys, what do you think about this whole thing?
Well, I think that there's an old saying that said...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, before we get into the action, this hour is brought to you by Prize Picks. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. Cash in on basketball's big moments with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Use code KWFN for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. As I told Chris last week, I got very excited with the FanDuel fantasy for baseball on opening night, and I lost. So that was great.
That's a good thing. You didn't have to be present to win because you didn't win.
My team was not present.
You did not win.
I went very, very Padres heavy, which helped and hurt at the same time. Anyway, here we go.
Number five.
And a place that you never want to be on the internet is in the middle of a brawl at a baseball game. Over the weekend at Petco Park, there were sights and sounds of many fights, and one of them even made TMZ Sports.
Sights and sounds.
Yes, have you seen these videos?
I haven't.
This is embarrassing because it's occurring at a much faster rate at Petco Park. Some fans tweeted me saying they don't like to go to games because of fighting and drunk people. And I'm not saying this is a Petco thing. This is an all sports watching thing, but we're focusing on baseball in San Diego. How can Major League Baseball make things safer, Chris, for fans going to games?
Well, first thing that crossed my mind when you said this is happening at Petco Park, and it happened over the weekend. The first thing that crossed my mind is that the Giants were in town. And we already know, based on somebody on this program's behavior, that San Francisco fans can be very difficult to deal with.
Goodness.
So I think one of the reasons that you get a little more of this when the Giants are here, certainly when the Dodgers are here, is because there's so many fans of the other team. And I'm sure this happens around baseball. Philadelphia and the Mets are very close, anyway, geographically close, so I'm sure a lot of fans travel. But I think that's the beginning of it. I think you have a lot of Giant fans at Petco Park over the weekend. As far as how Major League Baseball can better police this, I mean, other than not just kicking people out of the game that engage, but having the ability to keep them from coming for a while afterwards. And I don't know whether we're quite to that yet, where somebody can kick Matt Scraby out of the stadium and then keep him from coming back into the stadium the next night.
Well, I find a way.
Yeah, I know that with you, they would find a way. But I don't know what else you can do. I mean, the behavior is awful. And, you know, I understand why a lot of people don't want to go to games. And I think it's a problem that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah, the TMZ Sports had the one on Friday night, I think it was. And it was bad enough to make the front page of TMZ Sports. So, Tony, how can Major League Baseball make things safer for fans going to games?
I don't know that Major League Baseball can, because it's not, as you said, this isn't just a Major League Baseball thing. This is really all sports everywhere. The folks in the stands are a little bit out of control at times. I mean, maybe close down alcohol sales earlier. I don't know. Although we know that they're already trying to expand that based on the game being too quick. I mean, that's probably one way you can do it, because at the really crux of all of these situations is a little bit of that adult beverage that's mixed in with the hostilities that already exist between the sides that are typically at the center of these things. So,
can we just ban alcohol sales entirely at ball games? Would any team? How loud would teams?
The teams wouldn't survive.
What do you mean they wouldn't survive? They have so much money right now.
They would definitely survive. The fans wouldn't survive, maybe.
I think the fans wouldn't survive. Yeah.
But yeah, man, I don't know that this is a Major League Baseball can do. I think The moment you start having to police how people act, that was what has made sports, live sports, so attractive. Is for the most part, people had been able to conduct themselves in a way that everybody can enjoy themselves. We are moving into, seems like we're moving into a time where people are forgetting how to conduct themselves, and it's messing it up for people, other people who are trying to enjoy the game.
I think you brought up something about a month ago, Scraby, that you asked if I personally would welcome an alcohol-free section or two at the ballpark, and I said yes. Maybe you have to just put all the alcohol people in one section of the ballpark and put everybody else somewhere else.
I mean, that's where all the fights are going to break out.
I mean, this would at least make some of the fans feel safer.
The video I saw was of someone on like the concourse in a very crowded area, and he was over 40, I'm just going to say. And it was embarrassing because he got tossed to the ground and he did like the bounce on the ground type of thing. Embarrassing. And then the other kid, I think he was like in his 20s or something, like fell down and people were trying to break it up. And it's just like, what are we doing? It's Easter Sunday, people.
Yeah. It's not a good look.
I will say this because I know people are thinking, well, Scraber used to drink and go to baseball games. Yes, I did, but I never once got into a fight, and I never once did anything to get kicked out. Yeah, we
also, just remember all the stories you've heard about Scraber. He also seems like he's pretty obnoxious when he was a drunk,
okay.
So.
There was one time, I will say, that I was being obnoxious and I should have been decked, but I wasn't, and I'm thankful for that, and I've never done it since.
So, with that said... Four.
Just before tip-off between Texas... Why are you staring at me, Chris?
Sorry, I'll look elsewhere.
All right, thank you. Just before tip-off between Texas and North Carolina State in the Women's Elite Eight, the NCAA was made aware that there is a discrepancy between the distances of the three-point lines on each side of the March Madness court in Portland. The news was first relayed on air by ESPN prior to the start of the game, which did go on as scheduled, with head coaches Wes Moore and Vic Schaefer agreeing to play in order not to delay the game, ESPN said. So, yes, the three-pointers... The two lines were different distances, and some of these games were played before it was noticed. Tony, I'm sorry, are all of these games null and void now?
No.
Null and void!
Absolutely not.
One side could have made more threes than the other side.
But do we know? That's the thing, is before we start going on this path, it's easily, you can find that information pretty easy. You can go back, watch the game, see who actually, if how many more threes were made, if any at all. My guess is that there weren't. I just, you know, this
is weird, though, you gotta say.
It definitely is definitely not normal, but not enough to null and void, as you said, the games. And the mere fact that the two head coaches of both teams of the game that it was realized were like, nah, we're gonna play anyway, let you know how little of a deal this is.
It's a big difference.
In terms of the women's game, you don't hear about these things happening in the men's game. So, you know, the people who are in charge need to tighten up, man. Don't have the women out there looking crazy because you can't count the amount of inches out there that needs to be from where it's supposed to be, or where the line's supposed to be.
I don't think this is, I haven't heard this to be truth, but I think one side was men's side and one side was women's and they just made a mistake or something. I don't know. Oh, Chris, what do you think about this?
It wasn't that. It was honestly one of them, the line was just too close to the top of the key.
Right.
And the other one was another foot or two further at the top of the key. And the reason that the coaches agreed to play the game is because they were told it would take well over an hour to fix it. And neither coach wanted to wait over an hour to start the game. I mean, it was an Elite Eight game. Everybody was, you know, revved up and ready to play. So they didn't want to wait an hour. But this is I don't want to say it's a black eye for the sport, because it's not the sport's fault. It's the people in charge of this arena in Portland.
Right.
That you know, honestly, this is an incredible embarrassment. I mean, you know, guys, I ref freshman high school games at, you know, modern day high school. I have never come across a 3-point line that wasn't measured off correctly.
Do you measure before each
game? I don't, but no one's ever pointed any problem out before. I just find it hard to believe that they couldn't get this right. It was Yeah. That's bad.
This is where it's important to remember, right? It would never happen at a high school or building because they don't have to change these floors a billion times.
Yeah, fair enough, Chris, but
the point is that Chris is making is spot on. Like, the women's game is, like, ascending at a crazy pace right now. Having a story like this, although it doesn't stop that train that's going, it's certainly not a good look for the game, and it has nothing to do with anything anybody in the game is doing, right? It's some people working at a arena that just made a mistake, ultimately.
Well, Caitlin Clark.
I think they had the guy from the television commercial who spelled out chefs in the end zone.
Yeah, they did. That's exactly
he was did. The guy measuring the three-point line.
That's pretty funny. Now, but Caitlin Clark is, everything she does forward is an asterisk on her name.
All right. As usual.
If she would have had a closer three-point, I'd have hit like 97 threes or something.
Just
97
first
threes,
of all, she
get
did,
that?
First of all, she didn't play in that arena, so second of all, it's silly. Move on.
With the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson super... I know when Chris is serious is when he does look away from me. With the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson super fight happening in July, it does not excite one of the best professional boxers in the world right now. Canelo Alvarez did an interview with TMZ Sports, and he said this.
Really? Not even interested?
No. Nothing.
Do you think it's good for boxing, not good for boxing? No. A lot of people think that Netflix is good for boxing.
I think Netflix is good for boxing, but at that special fight, I think Netflix is doing something wrong there. I think Netflix being involved, yes, is good, but not in that kind of fights. I think it's more show than a fight.
Chris, should Canelo Alvarez embrace this as a way to get eyes on his sport?
I think he should, but I understand why he isn't. He's at the top of the sport, and you know he's the guy with whom most boxers and boxing events are measured by. So I can totally get it, but boxing I think needs some attention right now, and if it has to be put together as an entertainment package, I think it's good for the sport. You know, I haven't been interested in too many fights myself in the last decade or so. And, you know, I used to be a pretty good fight fan. I used to watch quite a few, you know, boxing matches. But, you know, the fact that everything's difficult to find, it's all pay-per-view, it always costs me extra. And mostly the fact that I don't know who any of the fighters are keeps me from watching. So, you know, at least this one event is, you know, features some names of people I've heard of. So, yeah, I think he should embrace it, but I understand why he hasn't.
Tony, do you think Canelo Alvarez should embrace this as a way to get eyes on his sport?
I don't know if he should embrace it. And I certainly understand where he comes from, right? I'm sure he's a boxing purist. So, like, the fact that a 50-plus-year-old, almost 60-year-old Mike Tyson is fighting
a YouTuber. He's a boxer
is,
at this point, I guess.
The thing is, as much as what's his name?
Jake Paul.
As much as he has improved as a boxer, it's hard to take him seriously when he's taking matches like this, right? He's not fighting any boxers, like real boxers. This is actually the first, like, real boxer he's faced. But he's, like I said, he's almost 60. So, like, it's tough for him for anybody to take him seriously. In terms of whether Canelo should, you know, be on board with this in order to promote boxing, I don't know that he should. He's still in the ring, literally. So, he probably wants eyes on real boxing matches, and I don't know that this one could be considered that.
Good points, both of you.
Number two.
The MLB uniform drama died down a bit, but it is right back after opening weekend. I don't know if you guys were following this over the weekend, but we saw a ton of sweat, especially from the Yankees. It was just sweating right through their uniform.
Really?
The numbers and the names, they don't look great. I gotta say, the Padres don't look that terrible. They don't really look terrible, I'm saying that. But another aspect...
What?
I don't know what I'm saying. Because as soon as I said it, they're like, he's being a homer because they're the Padres. But I don't actually think... Anyway, it doesn't matter. Some of the uniforms look good. Some of them don't look good. But another aspect is the delivery of the uniforms. The Mariners, who wear their cream-colored uniforms on most Sundays last season, haven't even received them yet. And the St. Louis Cardinals often wear their famous victory blue uniforms for Saturday road games, but they're forced into grays for the first Saturday of the season because they are also still without those uniforms. And they may not be getting those uniforms until June, reports have said. So it would be like the Padres not wearing military Sunday uniforms on home Sundays. Very strange. Tony, can MLB afford to not go back to the originals?
They're not going back to the originals, my understanding. So whether they can afford to or not, that doesn't seem like it's going to matter.
Foot is down.
They have decided to go with these, I guess, more comfortable material.
Breathable?
Breathable. That's what I'm looking at. Breathable material. This is one of the drawbacks. I mean, if you have a it depends on what your body and how long your last name is, depending on how bad the back of your uniform looks. Like, you have a big back, like, let's say, Jorge Soler.
Hmm.
His letters, it looks fine. It's distributed good.
Yeah.
But it's the huge dudes with the small last names. Like, if you got a four-letter last name, it looks really weird. And you know, those letters look too small. And so... Yeah, man, it doesn't sound like there's a whole lot that's going to happen. My man, who was it? My man for the Yankees, the lefty, the pitcher for the Giants last year.
Oh, Rodon?
Rodon was, he had like dark gray when he got done. When he got done pitching in Houston. So I guess this is one of those things players are going to be irritated about. And listen, we may not hear about it, but if it's a problem, there'll still be some things happening back channel to kind of rectify it, I'm pretty sure.
Chris, I guess because they're not going to be moving the jerseys, what do you think about this whole thing?
Well, I think that there's an old saying that says, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Mm.
And I never thought the uniform was a problem. Did anybody come out and complain, Tony, last several years that the uniforms were uncomfortable or... not breathable enough?
Nope.
I didn't hear it.
I think
so. I just don't understand why they had to make a change other than for somebody somewhere to pocket some extra money.
There it is.
Well, of course it's there it is. And that's so, you know, I think baseball, you know, Tony made the statement they're not going to change it. But, you know, baseball, you know, should be somewhat punished for this decision. I mean, somebody pocketed a bunch of money somewhere and, you know, it's made the game worse. And it didn't need to be changed in the first place. So, you know, I hope that quietly this gets rectified as the season goes along because, you know, it's the last thing anybody wants to be concentrating on.
It's very true.
Number one.
All right, we got to get going through this, but San Francisco Giants fans are outraged after learning the memorial tiles that they purchased for between $95 and $225 are no longer going to be at the park. According to the San Francisco Chronicle, the Giants sent an email last Thursday to fans who purchased tiles informing them that they're going to open a new park in China Basin with a new design, and they are no longer going to feature the tiles. Instead, those fans' messages are going to be appearing in a digital kiosk, which is going to be installed later. The main reason behind this is the tiles were apparently destroyed during construction of the park, so that's why they don't have the originals. Fans think this is a money grab, and the tiles they bought were special to them. One fan even saying they showed their loved one the tile before that loved one passed away, and so they go back there and to remember them. Some are even saying they want their money back. Chris, should the Giants give their money back?
They absolutely should. They absolutely should. I think when everybody buys a tile, I don't know what kind of contract is put down. I mean, they have tiles at Petco Park that are 20 years old, and I know people like to go see them and revisit them often. I know my wife has a tile at the Colorado State Football Stadium, and every time I'm there with the basketball team, I have to trudge through the snow and take a picture of it for her. And it looks the same every year, but she wants to know that it's still there. But I think when people purchase those tiles, I think they feel like they're forever.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, indicated or not, I think they all feel like it's forever. And the fact that this is not forever, I think, is on the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they should return the money to those who wish it returned.
You don't like a digital kiosk?
I don't know how to work a digital kiosk.
Thank you.
So that's why I wouldn't like it.
Tony, do you think the Giants should give the money back?
Yes. This is a no-brainer.
I didn't expect this.
I think a tile, something like that, should be forever. It should be a lot longer than it was, that's for sure. And they should try to rectify the situation somehow. I'm sure they got it. They can afford to just refurbish them.
Yeah. I mean, you can remake them, I guess.
Yeah, the extra money they got from changing the uniforms, they can give some of that back to the people who bought tiles.
Or the three World Series runs that they made.
That wouldn't hurt.
All right, that's it for the Big Five. When we get back, we're going to talk about this game tonight between the Giants. Not the Giants. We were just talking about the Giants. Between Chris, don't act like you're so mad at me. The Padres and the Cardinals next on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.